Today's Amud is Yavamas Chavav Amud Aleph. We're holding by the Mishnah on the top of Chavav Amud Aleph. So says the Mishnah, continuing our discussion of all the different cases of Chashad, right? We spoke about different cases where because of Chashad, so we don't allow a person to marry a woman. For example, we had a case where an aide comes to Beis Din, he comes and he testifies that he saw about a woman that her husband died. The halacha is that this aide echad, he's not allowed to marry the woman because of Chashad. We also had in Chaf Hayam Beis, we had a Chacham Sha'asar. Over there, the chacham, the lady made a neder, she was neder anah from her husband, she came to the Rav to ask to see if it was possible, if there was a Pesach for the neder, and the chacham said that no, there's no Pesach for the neder, he asked her to her husband, and because of that, they went and they got divorced. So the halacha is that because of chashad, so it shouldn't look like the chacham only asked her so that he could marry her, so he's not allowed to marry her, even after she gets divorced, the chacham is not allowed to marry her. So just to be clear, in the first case we spoke about, by the case of the aide echad comes to Beis Din and he says about a lady that he saw that her husband died, so that's a case of Misa, he's saying that he saw that her husband died, in such a case he's not allowed to then go ahead and marry her. And also we saw that in the case of Gevurshin, in the case of divorce, like the case of the Chacham Sha'asar, where he's saying that he saw that the lady doesn't have a heter for her neder. So the halacha is that they go ahead and they get divorced. This chacham is not allowed to go and marry the woman. The Mishnah now says three exceptions to all of these different halachas of chashad. There are three nuances, three exceptions. The kulam, says the Mishnah, the kulam in all of these cases of chashad, shahayu lahem nashim, if let's say the man at the time had a wife, the aide who came to Beis Din, he was married at the time. Or the chacham, that he said that there's no Pesach for the lady's neder, he was married at the time. In all of these cases, if the man had a wife, umesu, and then subsequently the wife died, the halacha is that mutareis linasei lahem, is that after they become widowed, so the man, the chacham, the aid, he's allowed to marry the woman. And the reason is because being that he had a wife at the time, so there's no concern that he was just doing it. It doesn't look bad. There's no chashad. It doesn't look like he was only telling the woman that her husband died because so that he could marry her. It doesn't look like the chacham only said that there's no Pesach to the neder so that he could go ahead and he could marry her because he was already married at the time. Now, even though it is possible a man is allowed to have two wives, especially Bizman Chazal, there was no Takanas Rabbeinu Gershom, so a person was allowed to have a second wife, but the Tiferes Yisrael over here in our Mishnah explains in Ayis Samach that it wasn't common. The normal thing is for a person to only have one wife, and therefore when the man already had a wife at the time, the aid or the chacham, whatever the case is, if he already had a wife at the time, so then there is no chashad, and if his wife then goes ahead and dies, so then the man, the aid, the chacham, is allowed to marry the woman that he was matter. Now, the Gemara will speak about what happens in the case where they get divorced. For now, the Mishnah spoke about a case where the wife died. In a case where the wife died, so the aid and the chacham is allowed to marry the woman that they were matter. A second exception, the kulan, and about all these cases of chashad, shenisu la'achirim, if let's say after the aid was matter the woman to get remarried, or after the chacham said that the woman can no longer remain with her husband, in all these cases, v'kulan shenisu la'achirim, if the woman went ahead and she married a different man, v'nizgarshu ayshenis almanu, and then she got divorced from this husband, from this second husband, her second husband, she gets divorced now from her second husband, or she gets widowed from her second husband, so then the halacha is that as a third As a zivug shlishi, as a third husband, mutareis linasei lehem, so she's allowed to marry the aid who testified that her first husband died, or the chacham which made her usher to her first husband, she's allowed to then go ahead and marry him as a third spouse. Being that there was a husband in between, there was a middleman, there was a middle husband, so then it doesn't look bad, there's no problem of chashad, because you see, now whatever they were doing, it wasn't some designed plan, because she went ahead and she married someone else, so then after that marriage, they are allowed to get married. And the third exception, or nuance in this halacha, is that v'kulan, in all of these cases of chashad, even though it's true that the aid is not allowed to marry her, Even though it's true that the Chacham Sha'asar, he's not allowed to marry the woman, still, Mutarais Livnehem Oila Acheihem. The woman is allowed to marry the aide's son or the Chacham's son or their brothers. She's allowed to marry the aide or the Chacham's brother. Meaning, there's no Chashad. There is a Chashad that maybe the aide or the Chacham was just trying to get to the woman. So they said that that her husband died or that she's usher to her husband in order so that they could go ahead and marry the woman. But the Chashad doesn't go so far. We don't apply it then to their son. We don't say that maybe the Chacham only asked her to her husband because he wanted her for his son or for his brother. That far we don't go. And Mamela, the woman is mutter to the person's son. Even though there's a Chashad between them two, she is mutter to the person's son, to the Chacham's son or to the aide's son or to one of their brothers. So now, the Gemara is going to focus, there's just going to be a short Gemara Mamish on each one of the three cases of the Mishnah. On each one of the three cases, just a short Gemara. So first going on, the first case of the Mishnah was that in any of the cases where the man already had a spouse, and then that spouse died, so then they already had a wife, and then the wife died, so then the man is mutter to the woman. So if the aide came to Beis Din and he was married at the time, when he said that this lady's husband died, so then even if his wife then dies, he's allowed to marry her. Or if the Chacham Sha'asar, if he was married at the time, so then if his wife then dies, he's allowed to marry the woman who he asked her to her husband. Now, Mesu in Nizgar Shulai, the Gemara's Medayik, and it's mashma from the Mishnah, that the halach is true only if the spouse died. But if he went ahead and divorced his wife, so then no. So then we're not going to allow him to marry this woman, because that has a separate chashad. If we see that this chacham was asr, this woman to her husband, and now she gets divorced. And then this chacham goes and he divorces his wife and wants to marry this woman, so it looks like he's divorcing his wife just because he wanted to marry this woman. And the same thing with the aid. The aid who comes to Beis Din and is made that this woman that her husband died and he's married at the time, and he goes ahead and he divorces his wife and wants to marry this woman, so it looks like he only divorced her in order to go ahead and marry this woman. So if his wife died, fine, we're not going to blame him for killing her. That far we're not going to go and accuse him of slipping something into her drink. But if they get divorced, so then that has its own chashad, and that's what's master from the Mishnah, that we only give the heter if it's mesu. But if it's nisgarshu, so then already we do not give a heter. However, Amar Le Rav Hillel, Rav Hillel asked Rav Ashi that Vahatanya, we learned in the Braisa not like that. We learned in the Braisa that Afilu Nizgarshu, that even if they get divorced, the halacha is that the Chacham, the aid, whatever the case is, he's allowed to marry the woman. He is allowed to marry her. As long as he was married at the time that he said that her husband died, as long as the Chacham was married at the time that he asked her to her husband, if he then goes ahead and divorces his wife, he's allowed to marry this woman. So says the Gemara, like Hasha, it's not a stira. Again, our Mishnah is mashma that he's not allowed to marry her by a case of divorce. The Braisa says he is allowed to marry her. Says the Gemara, it's not a stira, it's two different cases. Ha da havai katata, ha da loy havai katata. The case of our Mishnah is discussing a case where their shalom bias was great until now. The shalom bias between the aide and his wife was great until now. Or the Chacham Sha'asar, they had good shalom bias. All of a sudden, afterwards, he starts picking a fight, they start getting into fights, and he wants to divorce her, so that already has a chashad. When the Braisa says that it's mutter to marry, it's mutter if they get divorced, it's mutter for him to marry the woman, that's talking about a case where anyways we know from beforehand they were already going to the therapist, they were already having shalom bias issues beforehand, so then it doesn't look bad, it doesn't then look like there was a problem if after the fact he divorces her and he wants to marry this woman. It's only if things were going well, so that's when we have the chashad. That's the case of our Mishnah, so there's no stira. Our Mishnah is talking about where they weren't having any fights, and the Braisa is talking about where they were fighting. V'bayis ema, or it could be that havaha d'loy havai katata. Both the case of the Mishnah and the case of the Braisa are talking about cases where they were not having fights until now. Ah, so then what's the pshat in the Braisa? Why would, if they weren't having fights, all of a sudden now he's divorcing his wife? Doesn't that seem wrong? Why would we allow him to marry her? Well, like Kasha, had argil hu and had argila hi. It depends who's starting the fights, literally. It depends who's starting it. It sounds like 2-year-olds, but it depends who's starting it. If he starts the fights, so then we say, then there's chashad. They weren't fighting until now. Now they're fighting and he started it, so then already, then we do not, that's the case of the Mishnah, then we don't get, let them get married even after they get divorced. However, the case of the Braisa is talking about where she was starting the fights. They weren't fighting until now, but they only started fighting afterwards, but she's the one who started the fights. Since she's the one who started the fights, so therefore, once they get divorced, we allow this man to go ahead and marry the woman. It's not going to have it's not going to have a chashad, because he's not the one who started the fight, so it was her that started the fights. Now, it's a little bit of an interesting Gemara, because how do you figure out who started it? I mean, he's going to say that she started it, and she's going to say that he started the fight. Reminds me of a story. Someone came to Rav Steinman, who's having some shalom bayis issues. So he went to Rav Steinman, and Rav Steinman started telling him about all the milas of being mevater. So he's telling him the milas of being mevater. So the man says to Rav Steinman, he says, wow, it's unbelievable. I never knew that it was so chashuv to be mevater. He said, do you mind waiting a minute? I just want to go get my wife. Do you mind telling her what you just told me? Meaning, of course, everyone thinks it's the other one. So I guess over here, the pshat is that you get a third party to say who's the one who started it. He's not going to be the one who's going to say it, or she's not going to be the one. But you get a third party to say it, and then we figure out who's the one who started it. So if he's the one who started the fight, so then we will not allow him to marry the woman. And if she's the one who started the fights, so then we will allow him to marry her, even in the case of Gerushin. So that's when it comes to the first case of the Mishnah. Now moving on to the second case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that in any of the cases where the woman then married a middle man, there was a middle husband in between, she married the second husband, and then she's widowed or divorced, so then she's allowed to then go back and marry the aid or marry the Chacham Sha'asar. So says the Gemara, and like we pointed out when we started this year, that the two cases that we spoke about, the aid and the case of the Chacham Sha'asar, is talking about two different types of cases. The aid who comes to Beis Din is saying that her husband died, that she's an almana. The Chacham Sha'asar is really turning her into a grusha. He's making it that now her husband's going to have to divorce her. Now the Mishnah on that says that in all cases, if she then gets married to a second husband, and she gets widowed or divorced, so then she's allowed to marry this man as a third husband. So Kesalka Daita, the Gemara speaks out, that it seems like when you read the Mishnah, that Misa Amisa, V'gerushin Agerushin, that in the case when the Mishnah says that the second husband then died or got divorced, so that could even be talking about a case where now she became an almana for a second time, or got divorced for a second time. Meaning, the aid came to Beis Din and said that her husband died. So now she's widowed. She goes ahead, she marries another man, and again she gets widowed. She just got widowed for the second time. And the Mishnah is saying that now she's allowed to marry the aid. And similarly with the Chacham Sha'asar. What happened was is the Chacham asked her, so now she gets divorced from her husband. She then marries another man, and what happens? She gets divorced again for the second time. So we could be talking about a case that the woman was widowed two times or divorced two times. Now, the Gemara says that, wait a second, if she was widowed two times or divorced two times, so we have a halacha about such a lady. There's a halacha called a katlanis. Let's talk about the case of an almana. A lady who got married multiple times, and each time she gets married, her husband dies. The halacha is that we don't allow her to marry another man. Because we say, okay, she has a chazaka. She has a chazaka as a katlanis, that her husband is always... She kills her husband. Not that she kills him b'yadayim, but that people that are married to her, their mazel is that they get killed, is that they die. They die young. So that's the halacha of a katlanis. Now it's a machlaikis. How many marriages does she have that end in death before we say that now she has a shame of a katlanis? It's a general machlaikis really in Shas. How many times does it take to create a chazaka? Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel holds that it takes three times to create a chazaka, and the shita of Rebbe is that it takes two times to create a chazaka. Now, with the case of our Mishnah, is that she was already widowed two times. Or similarly by divorce. Rashi learns that also by divorce, we have this halacha of a katlanis. If the case of our Mishnah is discussing a case where she got divorced two times, so the Mishnah is saying that we're allowing her to marry the aid, or we're allowing her to marry the Chacham Sha'asar, so says the Gemara, that name of Masnis, and the like Rabbi, so you have a Rai from our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi, our Mishnah must be going like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Di'ika Rabbi ha'amar betray zimni havya chazaka. Because Rabbi's Shita is that already after two times it creates a chazaka, she already has a shame katlan. honest, we wouldn't allow her to get married again. So from the fact that the Mishnah is allowing her to get married for the third time, it must be we're going like our Shimon ben Gamliel. To which the Gemara says, and no, it's not a raya, lai misa gerishin v'gerishin amisa. The Mishnah might mean that you specifically have to tack on the case of misa to the case of gerishin, and gerishin to the case of misa. Meaning, in the case where the aide came to Beis Din and said that her husband died, so she basically said that she's an almana, she then once goes ahead and she marries another man, so the Mishnah is talking about a case where that second marriage ended specifically in divorce. So it wasn't two cases where she became a widow. If she wasn't widowed the second time, she was widowed and then divorced. So then the halacha is, she can marry for a third time. And similarly, when the Mishnah spoke about the case of the Chacham Sha'asar, where he made it and now she has to get divorced from her husband, and then she gets married to another man, so the Mishnah is speaking specifically about a case where that second marriage ended in death, not in divorce. It ended in death. Mamela, she was never divorced two times. So the Mishnah could even be like, Rabbi, you just have to say that that what happened to the second husband is the reverse of what happened to the first husband, and then the Mishnah could even be like Rabbi. Now moving on to the third case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said in the third case that in all these different types of cases of chashad, so even though the man himself, the aid, the chacham, is not allowed to marry this woman, the woman is allowed to marry the aid or the chacham's son or brother. That much, that far we don't go. Now ask the Gemara, so it comes out, even though we have suspicions about this woman with this man, with this aid, with this chacham, we have our suspicions, we still allow her to join his family in different ways. She can marry his brother, she can marry his son, we allow her to join his family. Ask the Gemara, really? We're not nervous? We allow her to just have that, to be in close proximity to him in such a way to join his family? Why is it any different from that which we learned? That hanita mina isha, if there's rumors going around about a man that he's having a relationship with a certain woman, so the halacha is that asur bi'ima ubebita ubeachaisa. The halacha is that this man is not allowed to go ahead and marry this woman's mother, he's not allowed to marry this woman's daughter, he's not allowed to marry this woman's sister, because we don't want him in such close proximity to her. Being that there's already rumors that he's doing things with her, so therefore we don't want him anywhere near her. We don't allow him to get into her family. We don't allow him to marry her mother, her sister, her daughter, nothing. Because being that there's chashashis about them, so we don't want him in close proximity. So the question is just like over there you see that when there's chashashis, we don't allow him to marry into her family to be too close. We don't allow him to marry her mother, her sister, or her daughter. So why is it that in our Mishnah, when we have chashashis about this lady together with the chacham or together with the aid, so in this case we allow her to enter into his family and we allow her to marry his brother and her son, and to marry his brother or his son? Why? What's the difference? So says the Gemara, two terutzim. Says the Gemara, teretz number one, that neshei legabi neshei shchichon, the azlan, the shchichi the azlan, but gavri legabi gavri loy shchichon. Women hang out with each other. Sisters get together. Brothers less so. They get together, but it's not as much as women. A mother and a daughter, they get together more often than a father and a son. And if so, that's why when the chashashis are about the man with the woman, when it comes to the woman's family, we don't allow the man to get into the woman's family. Because if he's together with her mother, if he marries her mother, or he marries her sister, or he marries her daughter, so then he's going to end up being with her a lot as well. If this man marries, let's say it's Reuven and Dina, if there's chashashis about Reuven and Dina, we don't want Reuven getting into Dina's family. Because if Reuven marries Dina's mother, Dina's sister, or Dina's daughter, so then Dina's gonna be around a lot as well. And being that we have chashashis about them, so we don't want them anywhere near each other. So that's why we don't allow Reuven to marry into Dina's family. But when it comes to Dina marrying into Reuven's family, so that we don't have chashashis. If Dina marries Reuven's brother, or if Dina marries Reuven's son, that's not to say that Dina and Reuven are going to end up together a lot. Because Reuven and his brother, Reuven and his son, don't hang out as much as Dina spends time with her siblings, with her family. So that's why the chashash is specifically by entering the woman's family as opposed to entering the man's family. Says the Gemara, another teretz, that inami, that neshei deloy asran shchivasa nahadadi, loy kafti adadi. But gavri da asran shchivasa nahadadi, kafta nahadadi. That the reason why we're more strict when it comes to going into the woman's family as opposed to going into the man's family, is because when it comes to going into the man's family, there's sort of a built-in shmirah. L'mashal, if Dina would marry Reuven's brother, so there's a sort of a built-in shmirah that Reuven's brother is going to be very, very careful that Reuven doesn't get anywhere near Dina. Because Shimon, let's say Reuven's brother is Shimon. Shimon knows if his wife Dina has anything to do with Reuven, if they get together, so then it's going to ruin their marriage. Dina's going to be usher to him. Being that if a woman is mizanah, she becomes usher to her husband, so therefore Shimon's going to be very careful that Dina doesn't get anywhere near, and therefore there's a shamer. Shimon's going to be very careful. As opposed to if Reuven marries into Dina's family, let's say Reuven goes ahead and marries Dina's mother. Reuven goes ahead and he marries Leah. He marries Dina's mother. So in such a case, there's a chashash that maybe Reuven and Dina might end up getting together. Now, of course, Leah doesn't want anything like that happening, but there's a certain element of a lack of shmirah in such a case, because even if Reuven does something together with Dina, Reuven's not going to become usher to her. So since their shchiva is not going to ruin their marriage, it's not going to make him usher to her, if a husband goes ahead in his mizanah, that doesn't usher him to his wife, so therefore there's less shmira. So that's why we're more machmir when it comes to the man going into the woman's family, as opposed to when it comes to the woman coming into the man's family. Now ask the Gemara, wait a second, if this is the issue, so then aviv nami, the Mishnah's mashma, that who do we allow the woman to marry? She's allowed to marry the brother or the child of the aid or of the chacham. The question is why don't we allow her to marry the father also? Even if she marries the father, you'll have the same heter, you'll have the same type of thing, that the father will be very careful, he'll be the shomer, he'll make sure that Dina doesn't get involved with Reuven. So why can't Dina marry? It's mashma from the Mishnah that we won't allow the woman to marry the father. It says she can marry the brother or the son. Why can't she marry the father? So says the Gemara, in Echanami, she could. And Lo Mibayi Kamar. That was more Pasha. The Mishnah didn't have to say that. Of course, when it comes to a father, who the son, he's scared of his father. He's not going to want to do something to his father and asser his wife to him. So of course, in that case, it's going to be mutter. But when it comes to marrying the son, so maybe there's more of a chashash that Reuven might do something with Dina, even though it's going to cause her to be asser to his son. Kamash on the Mishnah, that no, we don't have to be chayshish for such a thing, and even in such a case, it's mutter. It's mutter for the woman to marry the eid or the chacham's son. Hajn alach ketzad eishas achiv. So moving along now, we'll begin Be'ez Hashem, the third parak of Maseches Yevamos. It says the Mishnah, a Mishnah that we've quoted already a few times, that arba achen. Let's say you have four brothers. You have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, four brothers, and Shnayim Mehem Nesuin Shtei Achayos. You have two of the brothers are married to two sisters. Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah. Reuven is married to Rachel, and Shimon is married to Leah. And Reuven and Shimon both die. So now Rachel and Leah fall to both Levi and to Yehuda. The halacha is, so Levi and Yehuda, they have to do chalitza, and they're not allowed to do yibam. The simple pshat in the Mishnah is because yesh zika, is because being that each woman is achay ziku kasai, Rachel is Leah's sister, Leah is Rachel's sister, so memela Levi and Yehuda will not be able to do yibam with either one of them, because each one of them is achaz zikul kasai. So mamela, we tell them they have to do chalitza and they're not allowed to do yibam. It says the Mishnah that ve'im kadmu v'kansu yaitziu. The halacha is that if they're over on this din and they go ahead and they marry these women, Levi marries Rachel and Yehuda marries Leah, the halacha is that we make them get divorced. Rabbi Eliezer Aimer, however, Rabbi Eliezer says that it's really a machlekes. Beishami Aimerim Yekayim. Beishami says that we allow them to stay married. Ubeis Hillel Aimerim Yaitziu. And according to Beis Hillel, we make them get divorced. Says the Mishnah another case now. Haisa, in the same setup, you have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Arba Achen. Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah, and Reuven and Shimon die. However, in this case, Haisa Achas Mehena Sura Ala Echad Isser Erva. Let's say one of the women is married, is Asr, one of the women, one of the sisters is Asr to one of the brothers as an Isser Erva. Let's say Rachel is Levi's mother-in-law. If Rachel is Levi's mother-in-law, so Mamela Rachel does doesn't fall to Levi. So it comes out the only one who falls to Levi is Leah. Memela Leah is not going to be Achay Zikul Karsai, because Rachel never fell to Levi, only Leah does. So in this case, Aser ba umutter ba Achaysa, Levi is going to be Aser to the Erva, he's going to be Aser to Rachel, but he's going to be mutter to Leah. Leah has no Yisurim, she's not Achay Zikul Karsai, she's not an Erva, so Levi could actually go ahead and be Miyabim Leah. However, Vahasheni Aser b'shteyan, Yehuda, the fourth brother, he's going to be Aser to both of them, because to him, each one of them is Achay Zikul Karsai, so he's not going to be allowed to perform Yibam with either one of them. Says the Mishnah, that's all if one of them has an Isser Erva to one of the brothers. However, if it's an Isser Mitzvah, Isser Kedusha, if one of them has an Isser that to one of the brothers, but it's not an Isser Erva, it's just an Isser Mitzvah, Chniyais, or it's an Isser Kedusha, it's Chai Vilavin, or Chai Vasei, so then the Lacha is, in such a case, is that being that Midaraisa, there's a Zika, Midaraisa, there is a Zika, so Chaylatza, Soloimis Yavemes, they have to do Chalitza, and they're not allowed to do Yibam. They can't do Yibam, because midaraisa there is a zika. At the same time, they need to do chalitza because midaraisa she is nefelas. Because midaraisa does no the midaraisa yibam would be daicha the iser shniyos or the iser kedusha. So that's why they need to do chalitza and they cannot do yibam. Haisa achas mehen asura alze iser erva vahashniya asura alze iser erva. Says the Mishnah now. Let's say Rachel is Levi's mother-in-law and Leah is Yehuda's mother-in-law. Each one of the sisters is Usher to each one of the brothers, a different brother, with an Isser Erva. Levi is Usher to Rachel because she's his mother-in-law, and Yehuda is Usher to Leah because she is his mother-in-law. So then in such a case, Asur Lezem Utaris Lezem, Asur Lezem Utaris Lezem. So Rachel is Usher to Levi, she's going to be mutter to Yehuda, she's not going to be Achay Zikukasai because Leah is Usher to him. And Leah, who's Usher to Yehuda, is going to be mutter to Levi, like we had before, because she's not Achay Zikukasai. The Zui Shamru and Sabbath. About this, that Chazal say that Achaysa Kashihi Yavimta Aicholatzas Aimis Yavemes. That you could have a case of two sisters, and still the halacha is that they could either do Chalitza or Yibam. The Chedesh is that they could even do Yibam, even though it's two sisters falling to Yibam, the brother is allowed to be Miyabim, one of the sisters, because in this case it's really only one of the sisters who are falling. Now says the Gemara, the simple reading of the Mishnah, the simple understanding for why, in a simple case, when there's no Erva involved, it's just Stam, you have four brothers, the Reisha of the Mishnah, you had four brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, and Reuven and Shimon were married to Rachel and Leah, and Reuven and Shimon die, so now the two sisters fall to Levi and Yehuda. So the Mishnah said, and in such a case, neither of them could do Yibum, because each one of the sisters is Aser to them. Simply understood, it's because of the Isser of Achay Zikul Karsai. So says the Gemara Shema Mina Yesh Zika. L'chayra, our Mishnah is a raya to the Yisoi that Yesh Zika. L'chayra, the Tan of our Mishnah holds that Yesh Zika, and that's why it's also for Levi and Yehuda to be Miyabim Rachel and Leah, because each one of them is Achay Zikul Karsai. D'i in Zika, because if you would say that the Tan of our Mishnah held that there's no Zika, so then Michti, let's see, what's the issue over here? Hani Mitrei Bati Kasyan. The two sisters are falling from two different houses. Rachel was married to Reuven, and Leah was married to Shimon, so Hai Yabim Chada, V'hai Liyabim Chada. So let Levi and Yehuda both perform Yibam. Each one of them could perform Yibam on a different one of the sisters. What's the issue? If there's no Zika, if there's no Isser of Achay Zikul Karsai, so why can't they both perform Yibam? So says the Gemara that it's not a raya. It could be really our Tana holds Oilam Eimalach Ein Zika. It could be the Tana of our Mishnah holds that Ein Zika. If there's no Zika, so why can't Levi and Yehuda perform Yibam? Umishom de Kasavar that Aser Levato Mitzvah Yivamin. The reason is because it's Aser to be Mevato the Mitzvah of Yibam. And Dilma Admiyabim Chad Mayis Idach. Maybe Levi, what's going to happen? Levi's going to go ahead and let's say he's going to perform Yibam with Rachel. He'll be Miyabim Rachel. He's doing this in the hope that Yehuda will then do either Yibam or Chalitza with Leah. Once Levi does Yibam to Rachel, so then Leah is Aser to him, because Leah is Achas Ishtai. So Levi goes ahead and he's Miyabim Rachel. The concern is that then maybe Yehuda's going to die. Maybe after Levi performs the Yibam with Rachel, so then Yehuda is going to die, will become a Vato Mitzvah Yivamin, and it's going to come out Leah, who had on her a Mitzvah Yibam, Yibam, Yibam or Chalitza, she's going to end up going away scot-free. She's not going to get Yibam or Chalitza because she's Achas Ishtay to Levi. If Yehuda dies after Levi performs Yibam with Rachel, it's going to come out that he might end up being Mavato through that Yibam. He's being Mavato, the mitzvah's Yibam from Leah. So because we don't want to be Mavato, the mitzvah of Yibam, so that's why we say that both Levi and Yehuda should perform Chalitza. They should perform Chalitza with Rachel and Leah. This way there's no chance that they're going to end up being Mavato, the mitzvah of Yibam. Now ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if so, if you're telling me that the reason that they don't perform Yibam in the Mishnah, the reason is not because of Yesh Zika, the reason is because of the Isser to be Mavatal Yibam, so Ihachi, if so, Tlasanami. So why does the Mishnah speak about Arba Achen? Speak about three brothers. Bishlama, if the Mishnah is coming to teach us Yesh Zika, so then I understand why the Mishnah would Bedafka wanted to teach it to me in the case of four brothers, where Reuven and Shimon die and Rachel and Leah fall to Levi and Yehuda. Because then there's a big chiddush that there's yesh zika, and even in the case of two yavams, even in the case where there's two brothers, even still yesh zika. So then I understand why the Mishnah spoke about arba achen. But if the whole Mishnah is coming to teach me that there's an iser to be mevatel yibam, so teach me that there's an iser to be mevatel yibam with three brothers. You could just have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and that Reuven and Shimon die, so Rachel and Leah fall to Levi, so it's aser for Levi to be miyabim, either one of them, because he's being mevatel yibam from the other one. Why can't you just teach it to me in the case of three brothers? So says the Gemara, that loy mi bayi kamrinan. That loy mi bayi tlasa de vadai bitla mitzvah yivamin. Of course, in the case of three brothers, we don't allow Levi to perform yibam with either one of them. Because then he's biadayim, he's mamish, for sure, he's being mavato, the mitzvah yibam from the other one that he doesn't perform yibam with. Aval arba lemisa loy chashinan. But maybe by four brothers, it's not so pasha that this is included in the iser to be mavato yibam. If Levi, by four brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, when Levi performs Yibam with Rachel, he's for sure being Mavatal Yibam. It's only if Yehuda dies, so then it's going to come out that by Levi having done Yibam with Rachel, he's being Mavatal the Mitzvah's Yibam from Leah. But it's only if Yehuda ends up dying. So that's a Chiddush. That's why the Mishnah wanted to speak about a case of four brothers, because you might have thought that Lamisa Lechashina, that we don't have to be concerned for Misa, Kamash Molon, that we have to be concerned for Misa, and even in this case, we apply the din that it's Aser to be Mavatal the Mitzvah of Yibam. So that's why we spoke about the case of four brothers. Ask the Gemara. Different kasha though, that Ihachi, if so, if the din of our Mishnah has to do with an Isser to be Mevatel Mitzvah Yibam, and the Chiddush is that we're Chayshish for Misa, if that's what you're coming to bring out, this Chiddush that we're Chayshish for Misa, so then Ihachi, Chamisha Nami. So speak about an even bigger Chiddush. Speak about a case of five brothers, where then it comes out that it's Aser to be for Levi to do Yibam to Rachel, even though there's still Yehuda and Sachar who are alive, because maybe he's going to end up being a vatal the mitzvah of Yibam. So says the Gemara, no, because that halacha is not true. Lemisa the trei leichayshinan. When we only have four brothers, when it's Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, so then yeah, then we have to be chayshish that maybe Yehuda is going to die. That one person might die, that far we have to go, and therefore we don't allow Levi to be miyabim Rachel, because maybe Yehuda is going to end up dying, and Levi is going to be mevatel yibam from Leah. However, if Levi has two other brothers that are around, there's Yehuda and there's Yisachar, so then it's taka going to be mutter. In such a case, it's actually going to be mutter for Levi to be miyabim Rachel, because there's still two other brothers who could go ahead and take care of the mitzvah of Yibam with Leah. There's still Yehud and Yisachar. What are you going to tell me? That maybe we should be chayshish that both of them are going to die? Says the Gemara, that far we don't have to be concerned, and in such a case there would be no iser, no concern of being mevatel the mitzvah of Yibam.